Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, Joe, we're getting calls from all over again. We're going down. I don't know. Are we going to completely off or just temporarily? In and out on this, on many of the stations out there tonight. Anyhow, but at least at least the phones are working. I think we'll see when we get to that.
We're working. Yep.
Okay. The threats continue. Germans will be vaccinated, cured, or dead by winter's end. This is here. The rulers are continuing to threaten the slaves. They need 100% compliance in their mass vaccination scam, and all they have left are threats as people continue to refuse. That's right. You're having more and more people. I think we mentioned earlier now some of the courts are ruling against these athletes, are ruling in favor of the athletes, saying, no, we're not taking a shot. And so German Health Minister Jens Spahn has said that everyone will be immunized or succumb to the coronavirus in the coming months, as he urged the public to get the shot. You know, that's really great. But right now, Joe, for every one person that dies of the virus, two die of the vaccine, which isn't a vaccine.
Yeah.
Probably by the end of this winter, as sometimes cynically said, pretty much everyone in Germany will be vaccinated, cured, or dead. Well, you know, Israel's starting to back away, aren't they? They've done figured some things out. They're losing a lot of their young men, aren't they?
They are. They're realizing there are a lot of unintended consequences with this that they hadn't counted on, and people are waking up. Like I said, we go through this. Can you just... I know we're on air, but that article about that nurse in Europe with the three numbers on, would you email that to me? We need to make sure we have copies of that. I'd like to send that out other places, so if you could email that over.
Okay, I would have to see if we can do that. Okay. I got that not in an email. I got that through, actually, that's come up on my text here.
Okay.
So maybe we could figure out a way of getting that over there to you. And so, in fact, Witt, if you're listening, Witt, he's the one that sent it to me. Well, he doesn't know how to get it to you, but we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Super. All right.
Okay.
There's just so much the governments are doing. Like, well, for an example, it's off the topic, but it shows what's going on. Biden's come out. He made this big announcement, we're going to release 50 million barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and this is going to help with the economy ease rising gas prices, right? Oh, come on, how dumb does he think we are? You do a quick search, and it doesn't...
Well, Joe, that's a three-day supply.
That's what I mean. Anybody with a computer can Google that real quick and find out we use 18 to 20 million barrels of oil a day. Yeah, three-day supply. Whoop-de-doo. It isn't going to do anything, but what? And you got to read behind the lines. What he's actually doing is a lot of it isn't going to go to us anyway. It's going to be sold to other countries. Oh, it'll help the world, you know, reduce the price of oil. No. Meanwhile, he's begging OPEC to increase their production. He's blaming the oil and gas industry. He wants an investigation into the oil companies because they're gouging prices, shorting supply. And then remember the Energy Secretary Granholm. The reporter asked her today, "How many barrels of oil does the U.S. consume?" Well, I don't have that number in front of me. Sorry. The lady that's supposed to be the energy secretary had no idea how to answer a simple question, and yet she's out there trying to convince people we're doing a lot to, you know, stop the high prices and we're going to fix the problem, and she can't even answer simple questions. This is worse than a joke, folks. This is a bunch of people that are not even very good liars. And they're trying to manipulate, con you. So if they can't tell you the truth about oil and energy and gas, you're going to trust them to tell you the truth about a vaccine or medication that is responsible for life and death? You know, once they start telling lies, they lose their what? Credibility, totally.
Well, absolutely. And this is why, too, we have to tell the people out there listening, you must resist. You know, this ministry, we have been the voice of the Christian resistance from God, from Genesis to Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation. God's word, the Bible, teaches very clearly, it demands, it requires that you resist tyranny. When you resist tyranny, that is obedience to God. When you fail to resist tyranny, that is always disobedience to God. So all of you listening to me out there, now listen, many of you, you prissy preachers, you've wasted half your life being prissy, not having courage to stand up, and the country, you know, has fallen. Abortion, killing our children is our national sin. You've got sodomy. You've seen what they've done to the children, where the children don't even know if they're male or female. And you prissy preachers, it's because you were afraid. You were so afraid of that 501c3. You had to keep that. And so you didn't want to offend the government, so you decided to offend God instead, okay? And because you had a lack of courage, a total lack of courage out there, you betrayed God. You betrayed your God, you betrayed your country, and your congregations by not having the courage to stand and fight and lead your people. You are to be bold. If anyone is to be bold, it's the pastor in the pulpit. And so, folks,
that's
here,
bold, not bald.
Right. Resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. Now, I'm telling you all this because they're going to try to double down. They're going to try to demand more and more mandates. This is communism. The revolution is on. And, you know, they're going to try to go all out, not just in this country, but in others. You've got a real serious situation there in Australia, but you've got growing and growing and growing resistance in Australia. They've been having marches, a huge march in Italy, all over. And there was there in Melbourne, Australia, they had, I don't know, it looked like a million people out there protesting the tyranny. And so that's what you have to do. You have to stand fast. These companies, the woke companies and that, and these courts, they got to know that you're going to resist. They have to know that. Listen, it is a sin not to resist. It is a sin against God and yourself, too, not to resist. So you must resist this. These poisonous pokes, they're killing people. They're killing a lot more people than they're helping. And that's reality. And but you're being betrayed by NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. These people are openly betraying you like they've done so many things that are happening you don't hear a word about because you're being betrayed. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Well, like I was talking a minute ago about Biden lying about the oil. Most of the oil reserves that they're freeing, the oil's going to go to China and India, most of it. They've been actively purchasing our U.S. crude oil that's been produced in the Gulf. So the president came out and said he's been working with countries across the world to address the lack of supply as the world exits the pandemic. The lack of supply is because he cut off we were the greatest producer of oil in the world, largest producer of oil in the world, and he shut everything down, the pipeline, the drilling, the exploration, all this. And now he's talking about he's part of a global coordinated effort with China, India, Japan, Korea, United Kingdom. Well, they're going to tap into their reserves. Yeah, like 5 million barrels. I mean, this is a dog and pony show, folks. It's a big lie. These other government leaders are participating in the big lie. And here's the next big lie. Janet Yellen's been out there. She's been lying. And she's tells we've got to pass this, you know, increase the debt ceiling because, oh, we're going to default on all these bills, you know, And she does this line, to ensure the full faith and credit of the United States, it's critical that Congress raise or suspend the debt limit as soon as possible. This isn't even a new lie, folks. You know, it's bogus. If you go down and look at things, the year 2021, federal receipts totaled $4.046 trillion. Net interest payments, $352.3 billion. Revenues outran the debt service by about $3.7 trillion, or 1,048%. Our cash flow, if you go look at some of the figures, I know it sounds like I'm going into weeds, but to make a long story short, taxpayers pumped into the Treasury more than 10 times the money needed to pay the interest on our bonds and our debts and avoid this kind of Argentine default that they're talking about. You know, like, you got your credit card. You can make monthly payments. You don't need to pay the whole balance to prevent a default. You just need to make a minimum monthly payment, and everybody's happy. So the Treasury doesn't have to have all the money they say they do in 1 month, because all they have to do is make the monthly debt promises. So they're lying to you. Uncle Sam, the closest we ever came when Washington collected only five times more than the $41.8 billion in interest, this was quite a while back, last year in August. Still, that was five times more than they needed to make the interest on the debt payment. And they gave you this gloom and doom, the end of the world's coming. It's just one more big lie. They can't even tell you the truth, how they can make a simple monthly interest payment and everything's fine. Not that it's good. We shouldn't be in debt. We shouldn't be in debt nearly that far. But again, they use fear, the Democrats' fear of COVID, fear of we're not going to be able to pay our debts. And everything they do is about fear, Pastor. Everything.
Well, all right, but first of all, you said the president, and you didn't mean that. You meant Joe Biden, okay?
Yeah, Joe Biden.
See, the president is the guy that gave us a very good economy. The president has made us energy independent. The president is the guy that came against these evil abortion laws and was promoting pro-life legislation, okay? The president was the guy that was trying to make it available hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin for it. You know, the president's name was Donald Trump. He is the legitimate president. Now, here you have, you know, this country again is being betrayed. Let me just read you this. January 6th defendants taking out of cells on stretchers. These are patriots. These are the good people. These are the true Americans that are being held by the deathocratic communists. These animals and these beasts there in Washington, D.C. January 6th, defendants were taken out of their cells on stretchers Thursday. According to a court filing, the situation started when one of the defendants refused to wear a mask. Family members of Kelly Meggs, who was being held in the D.C. jail, told Meggs' lawyer, prison guards began spraying a chemical substance described as mace or pepper spray, according to a filing in federal court. They sprayed mace or some type of gas in the inmate and kept missing so it would went into the intake that fed into other cells, and the lady with the key left because she didn't like the gas, so the inmates in the cells who were being fed the gas from that intake were locked in for 15 minutes while it was going into their rooms, and they couldn't see or breathe, the family told Jonathan Mosley, the lawyer. More than one of the defendants was taken out on stretchers to medical bays. Julie Kelly, a writer for the American Greatness, reported on Wednesday that the prison guards filled the area of the jail with chemical spray and three detainees had to be taken out on stretchers. Mosley said that D.C. Department of Corrections, these are let's pray against this. And again, folks, I beg you to pray with us. Let's pray against these people. Listen, God's listening. He's listening. And I know you're saying, don't you ever get tired? No, we don't get tired. This is the voice of the Christian resistance. There's no quitting here, none. Anyhow, so he goes on to say,
failure is not an option. Losing is not an option, folks. Losing our country, our constitutional republic, our way of life is not an option.
So let's pray against the Department of Corrections, the D.C. Let's pray. Folks, join with me, all of you out there across the country. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just would ask, Lord, Father God, for that D.C. Department of Corrections, that you would come against that from top to bottom. Lord, that you would come. You know that you would give to those what they attend to the good people, to the patriots right there, Father God. Lord, whatever it is, Father God, Lord, that you would put upon those people, that they, these are horrors. They're horrors there. They're doing what they're told by the deep state, by the communists, by the Antichrist, by those that hate God, hate you, Lord. They hate Christians. They hate patriots. So I would pray, Father God, Lord, that you would come against them in every way. You know exactly what it is, Lord, that those wicked, evil people, Lord, that you bring them to their faces crying in repentance, Lord, that they cry in repentance, lest they should burn in hell forever. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that's where they're going to get the cuckoo. See, I got the cardboard cuckoo. These people that write me these letters. Now, that prayer is really going to upset these cuckoos. I mean, that's really going to get them going. They're going to be tearing their hair out, okay? As it is, Joe, I seem to have the ability to frustrate them severely on a daily basis.
Unfortunately, it's really not that hard to do. I wish I could we could claim that it was really a difficult task, but it doesn't seem like we have to work very hard at it.
No, it's the one thing that they can't tolerate is intelligence. All right, we're going to open the phone lines now. I think we're going to give it a shot. We're going to open the phone lines at 888 677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Nationwide, I think. And hopefully we're going to take some calls, I think. So the phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673, if any of them are working. Are any of them working out there,
sure.
Craig? I hope Craig's still there.
Yeah, well, we didn't. I hope he didn't disappear.
Okay. All right. He's talking to people there.
Oh, good.
Okay, that means the phone lines are working. Okay, so he'll tell us in a second who the callers are. And okay,
While you're waiting, I got three headlines I want to read. Good news. Google workers revolt. 600 Google employees signed a letter against the company-wide vax mandate, calling for the repeal. U.S. Navy shipyard, the 25,000 employees at Newport News Shipbuilding been yelling they don't want the vax, and the company's backed off. 10,000 Marines may be run out of the Corps because they are not vaccinated. They are not going to get it in time to meet the deadline, which is November 28th. They don't want the vax. People are beginning to fight back. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And you know who else is starting to fight back? Now we're hearing some of these so-called doctors, the ones that were before telling us to take the vax, you need it. Now they're saying, well, you know, children really don't need this. And if you've had COVID, you really don't. See, because they've got their finger up in the air. They're seeing which way the wind is blowing. And they're saying, hey, you know what, there's a rebellion here, and I think I want to be on the winning side of this rebellion.
Yeah, so in the end will win, won't it?
Yeah. And so I'm seeing more and more of that coming down. And so, you know, I wanted to do this one very quickly, too. It hurts the feels, their feels. The Colorado kills the term sex offender. Advice for convicted rapists. Move to Colorado where the state government won't burden you with such odious labels. That's right. According to the CBS Denver political specialist Sean Boyd, you will no longer be known as a sex offender. Okay. I don't call them that. I just call them Democrats.
There you go. You're making them mad again. See how easy that was?
They've changed the term to something less stigmatizing, so they want to use person-first language. The Sex Offender Management Board, writes Boyd, which is made up of everyone from public pretenders to prostitutors, sets standards and guidelines for treatment providers, so the new terminology will not be used in that context. See, according to state law, you're still a sex offender, but in the warm, welcoming bosom of management board, you are one of the many fine adults who commit sexual offenses. See, that doesn't feel better. Oh, sure. They could have gone further. They could call you a client, like Derek Logue would prefer. Logue tells Boyd, referring to me as label for something I did half my life ago is inappropriate and downright offensive. So there you go. I just call, look, folks, if they're a sex offender, if they're a rapist, a pedophile, if they're pro-abortion, if they're, you know, pro-homosexual, just call them a Democrat. That's who they are.
They're not voting for on our side.
All right.
Hey, they're also trying to get rid of the word looting because, oh, that's racist. We can't call these people that are running into stores and breaking windows and doors and mobs and grabbing...
Just call them Democrats. Okay, that's all.
Well, it's racist to call them, you know, looters because everybody thinks of blacks.
Everything's racist.
Everything's racist.
If you disagree with... Who do we have? Okay, let's go to Joe. Joe, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. Good hearing from you. I turned on your program. I haven't listened to you in an awful long time. I used to call you a few years back. I just had 18 seizures a year ago, February.
Wow.
Oh, you've been down and out for a while.
Well, I'll tell you, I had one at home, four at the nursing home, and 13 that I almost, I stopped breathing for almost 4 minutes. Two doctors told me, Joseph, you're really lucky to be alive. I says, no, I'm blessed to be alive. God is not done with me yet.
Amen. Wish you had called and asked for prayer. Had somebody call in, we'd have put you on the prayer list immediately.
Well, my wife's been on a radio program that if you need prayer for someone, it goes worldwide. It comes from the University of Mount Union. She's been on that program for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
And, the long and the short is it's a gospel program, but they've gotten calls as far away as Japan, Bermuda, California, Florida.
Good. Well, just letting you know that, we would have been, that's one of the things that we love to do is pray for people. So,
hey, so do I. And but the long and the short is I had a doctor's appointment October 1st. And the doctor, he's been a doctor for well over 30 years. And conservative, very conservative. And he says, Joseph, he says, if you were ever to wear a mask, he says, now's the time. He says, it's not about the COVID-19. He says, it's about, we've got over 1 million immigrants in this country. And he says, they could have antibiotics to diseases they're carrying that I go out and I pass out daily breads every day. And I pray for people, and I always wear a mask, and I put gloves on. And he saw me a few different times at different stores. And the long and the short, the old man is dead in me. The new man is alive. And the long and the short of it is he says, hey, he says, I go into these grocery stores, different stores you go into. He says, half these people don't have a mask on. He says, and not that the mask is the cure-all to everything. He says, but the long and the short, he says, you don't know what these people have. He says, you have no idea what...
Yeah, but Joseph, let me just tell you, we've had, I don't know how many, at least five of... We've played the clips of the top virologists in the world, plus we've had at least 20 of the frontline doctors here on this program, and they all agree, Joseph, the average mask after 20 minutes becomes a soiled diaper. And so whatever those people have out there that you're talking about, that when you breathe that in, that's picked up, and you keep that soiled diaper right around your mouth. And they'll tell you that if you're going to wear one, you have to change it like they do in the hospitals every 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes, nobody does that. I see them laying on sidewalks. I see people coming out of a place and pulling them up, and they just throw them down on the ground if there's no garbage can around. So,
That's sad. But, you know, wear more than one or whatever. But all I can tell you is I'm blessed. And I thank the Lord, Father God, and the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you brought up the Holy Spirit. That's where our power comes from. And you, both of you, all know that. And I'm
all right.
An evangelist. About, hang on. I'll
Joe, yeah, because we got the lines are all lit. While we can still get phone calls, we want to move on. But let me just tell you this. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1, and then tell me what you think about that. But we have to move on. Let's go. Hey, Joe, have a blessed Thanksgiving. Okay, who do we have? Linda, out in Minnesota. You're in the air.
Hi, thanks, Pastor. How are you and Joe? And happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I have a question. My friend Alan came down with COVID-19 on the 4th of this month. He has been tested 3 times, and he still comes back positive. Now, I'm thinking that what the last 2 positives, the saying that he still has the COVID, are actually saying that he has had the COVID, and they're reading it as a positive, but he really doesn't have the COVID. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, it affects people differently. You know, some people can get it, you know, and it's very mild on them. With others,
he died. He was really sick.
Yeah. Well, how old is this fella? Is he?
Let's see, I'm going to be 75, 60, he's 78.
Okay, well, that's probably one of the reasons it's affecting older people, especially if he has any kind of lung problems or breathing problems.
No problems. He's healthy.
He's just testing positive because he's got strong antibodies. If he was really sick, he's probably got very strong antibodies that saved his life.
Okay, so he really doesn't have the COVID now.
Well, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, we don't normally, know, but it sounds like he's recovered from being very, very sick, right? How long?
It's been 3 weeks, and this is the third test that's come back positive. He feels fine.
Well, 3 weeks is, that's kind of normal. I mean, it's not really, people carry that stuff for 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. I want to let you know that I'm from up in Minnesota, up in the Twin Cities area, and I listen to Salem Christian radio station, and they didn't before, but now they're really jamming. When you guys are talking about something that whoever it is jamming that they don't like it, I don't hear anything anymore. They're jamming you guys so bad on this radio station, I don't hear anything. When they don't like what you're saying, whatever it is, it's the truth, and they don't like it, they're jamming this radio station so bad, I don't hear anything. So
what's
I don't get half
sign?
Of what you guys are saying. It's KKMS 980 AM.
And how are we coming by tonight? Are we on up there tonight?
No, they jammed it really bad. I lost almost all of the first hour. I couldn't get anything out of you. Whatever you were saying, they didn't like it, and they jammed it so bad. If they have, like, voices and signals, loud noise signals, and I don't hear anything.
All right, you know, but you can listen, get the whole program with the podcast if you go to, what is it, the word?
The word Cleveland.
The word Cleveland.com.
And, Cleveland.com?
Yeah, the word Cleveland.com.
Cleveland.
And, yeah,
wait a minute now, do I have to put the word Cleveland.com?
Yes.
Or just Cleveland.com?
No, the word.
Okay, the word Cleveland.com.
Word Cleveland.com.
The word Cleveland.com. Okay,
gotcha.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks. God bless you all. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your families, and I will go to the podcast because they're jamming me so bad up here, I can't hear anything as you guys are saying. Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty. We'll be back. We'll be back right after this. Thank you.
The birth of a king, what a glorious thing for the world. Redemption's begun, God has sent his own son to the world.
My Lord, too. Let's go out to Lou in Detroit. Lou, you're in the air.
Yes, I've been a Christian for over 40 years, and I just want to thank you for the information that you have given me on these current topics. They've been very helpful in helping me understand where all this is and how I've explained this to a lot of people in my local church and in my world. And you've got a soldier in this area that you've armed with this information. I just want to thank you for that, Mr. Sanders.
Well, thank you so much, Lou. Lou, how are we coming across in Detroit tonight? Are we on?
You've been on about 90% of the times. They blocked you a few times on some critical tapes and some messages that you were trying to run, some of the videos. But outside that, you've come through pretty good.
Well, praise the good Lord for that. Then I know we're... we're getting all kinds of calls from all over there. Of course, we don't have the FCC for us because, that's a part of the deep state. They're not going to help. They're not going to help us. So we got to just realize that, like we just read tonight in the scriptures, this world is not on our side, and so we just got to just keep onward and upward and fighting. No surrender.
Yeah, so, I'm just doing my part in my little quarter here, and hopefully the brethren are doing their part in their quarters because we all got to work together.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you, too, because it's good.
We pray that there are more like you all over out there from San Diego to Florida to New York City, and that God's people will stand and run to the battle. That's what we're counting on.
God bless.
Amen. Well, thanks, Lou. God bless, and you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Okay, let's go over to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Man, Cliff, listen, how's it been without us on here? Have you had withdrawal?
Yeah, it's like, what do you call it, like a caffeine withdrawal, although I avoid caffeine now. Oh. But, one of the things you were saying last week about the Cleveland Clinic, for example, and the people that were getting ousted, there's a scripture that came to mind from Ecclesiastes that said, better a live dog than a dead lion.
Yeah. Do you know what that was? Why he said that?
Why did he say that?
Well, the dog was the most despised animal, the most despised of all in the Eastern culture. The lion was the most revered, okay? But if you're dead, it doesn't matter, okay? Everybody, they're going to forget you to begin with. But as long as you're alive, a live dog, that live dog's got a chance to do what? You can become a lion, in a sense. So that's what he's talking about. You're better. And what does he say? He said, Solomon said, the dead know not nothing. And so he's...
I think that fits now. I mean, even with the Google employees, I work for Google, but if you take the shot and you're dead, then you're a dead lion in a sense, right?
Well, yeah. And this is why, I had a person who's an administrator in a hospital high up, and her response was, I hope that my people care enough for me here that they gave me the placebo, not the real thing. And, of course, we're seeing, and this is what we're trying to tell people. You see all these people, a lot of these people that are telling you to take the vax, they're not taking it. They're doing like in Slovenia, they're taking placebos. And we knew that. Listen, you cannot trust the deep state. You cannot trust this. Fauci needs to be tried for murder. He needs to be tried for murder, okay? Him and Gates. And, Rand Paul is exactly 100% right on that. And I want to praise the good Lord for Rand Paul, too, because Rand Paul's been speaking out, telling people, resist, folks, resist. They can't send us all to prison. And like the song says, what good is life without liberty, right? So we've got to resist into blood.
Well, another thing is that the actual death tolls, as you played last week with Peter McCullough, 85% of the people could have been treated and would have been all right if they had, just vitamin C and other things. And so 85% of the people were murdered. So 85% of the 700,000 would be 595,000 people. So it's a fraudulent number. You have to subtract the people they murdered, that they gave midazolam and that respiratory suppressant thing to give to finish them off. The remdesivir is...
Remdesivir, yeah.
Yeah, so they're euthanizing people to showcase the need for the kill shot, ironically. And that's orchestrated by Fauci and his organization. Fauci actually got not hydroxychloroquine off the market in places as far away as France.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
The whole point was they do not want people to get healed. They want all those little nanoparticles in people that they can control as long as they allow them to live.
Yeah, one more thing. If you get a chance, the Sergeant Reports, podcast, the Sergeant Reports, the Propaganda Anecdote, has a great interview with Zebulowski. You should just listen to it. Just hear what he has to say. It's riveting, really a riveting interview with Dr. Zeb Zebulowski, just the latest episode of that podcast. But one of the things he pointed out is that 2 months before, the FDA had said to their own scientists a whole list of side effects and severe side effects, and it matches 100% what's being reported to the, you know, board of injury board. And he said, this is not an experiment. This is murder. This is matches right up. And then he also referred to Dr. Bonti, who I mentioned previously, the guy from Germany, that said the third shot will be a death shot for sure. And I didn't know that Dr. Bonti was the most published immunologist in the world, but his YouTube video was called Perspectives on the Pandemic, Blood Clots and Beyond, and he explains why the third shot will be a death shot. And he says that the killer lymphocytes rush in much faster with every shot, scrape the veins of the blood vessels in the brain, and just rip them open, basically.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, Cliff, you have a blessed Thanksgiving.
All right, I'll talk to you if I don't talk to you tomorrow. Yeah, all right, miss you guys. All right, take care.
All right, you too. God bless. You say we have two prayer requests. What are they? Is she on the line? Put her up.
Hello.
Hello. Do you have a prayer request?
Yes, this is Claudia. I listen to you and Joe every night, and I appreciate all you've taught me, and I want to have prayer for my son-in-law. The five of us have all gone through COVID. I went to the hospital and got the antibodies. They really pulled me through. But my son-in-law is really suffering right now in the hospital, and he needs prayer. He's having trouble breathing. He has pneumonia from the COVID. So please pray for Frank.
Frank, okay. And what is the other one?
No, that's just it. That was just me. That was my
prayer. Okay. All righty. Joe, do you want to pray for Frank?
I sure will. Please, all you listening, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know Frank, but I know you do. You know everything about Frank and Claudia that called in to ask for prayer for her son-in-law. And you know what hospital room, you know the name of his doctors and nurses, and you know his struggles. So, Lord, we're lifting him up that you would bless him with every blessing that you can give him, that you would strengthen and heal him and strengthen him to fight this COVID, help him to breathe. Keep the doctors from doing anything harmful to him, and we would just pray that you would get a good doctor that knows what to do, how to handle the situation, that would come in to help. But, Lord, we just would put him in your hands and just ask that if it be thy will, Lord, that you would just heal him and bring him out of danger. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you.
Yes. We have a lot to be thankful for, even with all the problems.
Absolutely. All right, we have Judy in Detroit. Judy, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. I have just a few prayer requests, please.
Sure, go ahead.
I have a neighbor whose brother, Manuel, is in a coma. I'm not sure right now what the situation is. I have a friend, Amy, who had double COVID pneumonia. She had a relapse and is now in ICU. There's friend Roger. He's in the hospital since September. He had a full-length colon transplant, and now there's a blockage. And he's lost so much weight. and they gave him some kind of drug called, I don't know, Remicade or something. And if this doesn't work, he has to go in hospice. And he, his wife, Kim, his two daughters, and future son-in-law all have COVID. So that's awful. Little 10-year-old Delasia is an innocent mulatto girl who witnessed three boys having a fight on the way home from school. The one boy ran home. The father came out with a handgun, and he pointed it at her head. She had nothing to do with the fight. They were walking home from school, and I don't know if she's ever been back to school. She has PTSD horribly, and the police are not looking into the case because they're investigating the reason why the boys are fighting. These are all like 10, 11, 12-year-old children.
Well,
and I can't even imagine.
I'm going to have to get out
of our society.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get out because we're running out of time. But let's do it. Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold this Malaysia up first, this little girl first, and Lord, ask that you might touch her, Lord, and let that she would put her trust in you and not fear, that she would only fear you and nothing else, Lord, that you would touch that little girl. We know how much you love children. Lord, as far as Manuel and Annie and Roger. Roger and Amy and Connie, Father God, we just want to hold them all up to you. We want to hold them all up to you right now, Lord, and ask, Father God, that first of all, Lord, here's the first thing we want to ask you, is that you would turn their desires towards you and everything, Lord. And Lord, we don't know them, but if they're not saved, that would be the very first thing that they would call upon you. And then, Lord, we would ask, Father God, that you would bless them in every area where they can receive a blessing. You know what they need. Lord, we know what we want, but you know what we actually need. So that's what we ask that you would give to these people. But more than anything, Lord, that they would turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way in all things, Lord, and put their eyes on the prize and look towards the kingdom. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. All right, let's go to Boston. Okay. Hey, Frank, are we on the air there?
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my phone call. And I listen to you guys every night when I drive home from work. And my whole family had taken the shot here in Boston. And we're all believers, too. And I was coerced into taking a shot out in my situation, my family, and everything that's going on at my job, and we were forced to take it here, and but I did do the detox, and when I did it, so I got good information from you guys, but I was really concerned because I hear so much problems about these shots out there, and I'm really nervous. I just want to pray. My stepdad is they found a tumor in his brain, and he did the two shots. And I'm just concerned about him. He's getting results tomorrow, and I want to lift him up in prayer and believe in Christ that he would get healed.
All right. Well, you know him, so you go ahead and pray for him, and we will agree with you.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, my stepdad. We lift him up to you tonight that a miracle will take place in my family here in Boston, and that you'd heal his mind and in my parents' relationship, oh Lord. They've been separated for some time, and I think God brought him back. Lord, I just lift him up, and this his situation that did give him a miracle, Lord, in his life, that he would know that your hand was upon his head tonight, oh Lord, and you're healing him now as we speak. Lord, thank you for what you've done in our life here. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're just about out of time. How much time do I have there?
You're at about 3.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much for that, Frank. We We're out of time for tonight. You have a blessed Thanksgiving, my friend. And, Joe, I did it last night, so we'll let you do it tonight. You got about 2 minutes.
All right. We know that in Isaiah chapter 59, it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. He will not hear. And in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that sin separates us, and Jesus said, repent. First word he said, repent of your sins in his ministry. In Acts 3, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We're all sinners. We need a Savior, and our Savior Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took your sins, my sins, upon that cross. He died in our place, and he made it possible for us to become children of God. And all you need to do is call upon the Father, call upon the Lord, and repent of your sins. And with a truly repentant heart. You can't just say words. You have to really repent that you're sorry that your sins placed the Lord on the cross. And then ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, that you want him to become Lord of your life, all of your life, without reservation, without any doubt, and that you want that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, your down payment on eternal life. You want to become a child of the kingdom, a born-again believer, a part of the family of God, and then the world will change when you do that. Your life will change. Everything will change. You become this born-again new creature, and I guarantee you that everyone that I've ever met that's been born again, no one has ever regretted it. No one has ever wished they had not been born again. And it's the greatest decision you can and will ever make in your life. But just remember, you may not be here tomorrow. Tomorrow will not come for everyone. So you have an opportunity to join us and become part of the kingdom of God or risk eternal damnation. It's God leaves that choice to you, doesn't he, Pastor?
Yeah, he does. He wants you to call upon his name. And folks, so... he did it for you. It's a gift, but you got to receive that gift, and he tells you exactly how to do it, just like Joe said. But, Joe, we are now out of time for tonight, so as we say at this time every night, good night.
Good night.
God bless. And always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.